This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And now we have a treat for sports fans everywhere.
It's really important that professional athletes learn what to say and how to deliver their message.
You've got a great first half. Make sure you keep the ball doing the work. We're still looking to get it in the wide areas.
First of all, it's the correct stadium design, but also the correct pitch construction.
And that clash, that rivalry comes together with that traditional white blocked against that more modern, contemporary neon colour.
All these events live on the programme. We'll continue to do our best to cover sport in the way that you like, backed up by our highly professional team.
Grandstand starts now on BFM 89.9.
It is Friday. It's me, Ross. It's that time. Time for another episode of Grandstand. Now, it's a brand new show. It's not like our normal Friday show. It is still sports-based. And today, we're looking at grassroots football. So I've got in the studio with me, he is the GM of Little League Malaysia, Shazwan Wong. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for inviting me over. Thank you.
Okay, I this is Little League Malaysia. Let me explain, or why don't you explain? What is Little League Malaysia?
We run youth football development program. As of now, we have 4 centres across Klang Valley. And we coach young kids. And
let me just jump in there. Yep. Now, my kid goes every Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
It's great. Hundreds of children every weekend. Take part in outdoor activities, right?
Yes, it's great for the kids to come out and enjoy their football. And from then on, those that we see potential, we'll pick them out and they train competitively on the weekdays.
Brilliant stuff. So, Shazwan, how did you get into this? Obviously, love of the game. First of all, how long have you been doing this?
I've started coaching since 2003. That was back in Shanghai. And I started by chance. I was playing in a Sunday league with a team across down there in Shanghai. So with a bunch of teachers, and they asked me along, like, do you want to come out coach on the weekends? And I said, yes.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I started with a bunch of like 3 or 4 years old kids.
Wicked.
That's the first time that I coached.
Brilliant.
And never looked back from then on.
There is a buzz. People tell me when you see a kid, literally from when a kid arrives, like two left feet, to when you see them, you know, do things to a football or whatever.
Yeah.
There is a buzz, right?
The satisfaction is hard to explain it, but when you see a kid being able to absorb what you teach, I think like, That's a major satisfaction down there.
Brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. Okay, so what are your day-to-day involvements with Little League Malaysia? How's a typical Shazwan day start?
I'll log into the office about 10 in the morning.
You don't have to tell me the time.
Yeah,
I'm not clocking.
So from then on, like on the
Coffee
Tuesday,
bean till about 12.
On Wednesday, we'll do a meeting with the coaches. I'll sit down with my coach that's coached with me, with the under-8s team.
Okay, so what are the meetings with the coaches? What do you talk about?
Usually the plan for the week on a Saturday, Sunday, because we have 4 centres across Klang Valley, as you know, and there's a lot of coaches involved. So on our weekly meetings, there's like things that we discuss, like we want to, everything's in order for all our centres. And we'll head to the pitch by 4 o'clock for our weekday session.
So you're on the field every day as well?
No, we train on weekdays. Personally, myself, I coach on Monday, Wednesday and Thursday in the evenings.
Okay.
That is with the under-8s team.
Brilliant. All right. I follow you on Twitter. I see you're very active. I saw just today, you posted pictures of you very actively still playing football.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. It's wonderful.
Currently, we are running this KV United charity series, which I ran 4 matches, which opened to the public for them to register. Actually, it's all full now.
Okay.
So we managed to capture 160 players for the 4 editions.
Brilliant.
And the money we receive, we're going to go out and buy goodies to give out to people during this festive season.
Mm. Okay, let's go back to what you do with Little League Malaysia and grassroots football. Basically, it starts here, yes. Right? I mean, this is what it's all about. What's your? Are there enough kids doing it? First of all,
There's a lot actually. We coach across 1,000 kids every week, from weekdays to the weekends. Across 4 centres and schools that we go to as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people.
That's... Okay, so say a 6-year-old kid comes to you today. He knows absolutely nothing about football. He's not very keen. His mum's pushed him into it. How do
See
you get him?
That.
Yeah, exactly. they go, I want him to play outdoors. Yeah. You know how mothers are. So that's their my love for the kid outdoors done. But how do you get this kid involved?
These are the kids that come to our weekend session,
uh-huh.
where it's more to fun football. There's no pressure whatsoever. They turn up, we set up fun drills, and then they just play. Hopefully by that, they'll start to enjoy football. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Kids need to be able to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Creates camaraderie and all kinds of good things can come out of it. What's your biggest complaint of parents?
Biggest complaints of parents?
I'm sure there's a long list, right?
Yes, there's a long list.
go on, like, be nice.
You don't want to complain about parents. Not everyone knows everything about football.
But they all think they do though, right?
Yes. I think our major task is like to try to educate parents.
So hang on, you're talking about here match day situation. They're on the touchline. They're giving you advice. Giving the coaches
that.
Advice.
Nobody give me advice though, so luckily enough. I think like we need to educate parents and what are the do and don'ts in football.
Yeah.
End of the day, if the kids are enjoying it,
exactly,
let the coach do the job.
Yeah.
We know, like all the coaches here is there to improve the kids, and I think the parents just have to let us improve the kids.
If you're listening, parents, I mean, it's all very commendable being hands on and all that. I drop my kid off every Saturday and Sunday. I used to go for the full hour and a bit that he stayed. Now I let him play for half an hour, I have my tea, and then I come back and watch the last 15 minutes. It doesn't put him under pressure. I know he enjoys, he talks a different way with his friends, you know, in front of his friends than he does with his dad. So, yeah, you've got to give your kids room. I think that's the general idea here,
good
right?
example is actually Bojan Hodak. His boy is playing with us in the under-11s team.
And okay, how is Luka? Is he good?
Luka is good. Good
Two-footed?
Player. Two-footed? It's very left. I think he's a lefty.
What kind of position?
He plays on the left midfield.
So and very unlike Daddy then, yeah?
Yeah.
Bojan, if you're listening, yeah? Nothing like you, yeah?
And Bojan is a national team coach.
Yeah.
And he says nothing about the session. He doesn't give out instructions on the sidelines.
Because
he understands.
He's got football. That football etiquette,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's manners. I mean, it's worldwide. It's just like now... We see newspapers, you shouldn't talk Chinese in front of Malay people. I mean, come on. Isn't that common sense that should have started from the year dot? Do you know what I mean? You don't need to print that now.
So,
football etiquette and manners and all that goes a long way. Say thousands of children you see a year, how many do you think they can go all the way? They can make the grade?
It's difficult to say because I think in football development there's many phases around it and many factors involved, like how many times you train, how supportive your parent is, and how's your daily schedule involves and stuff like that.
It's how serious they are, because at the end of the day some just use it as a weekend keep fit thing, right?
And commitment is the most important thing.
And again, that is educating parents and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Asian parents. I mean, I'm slightly older. When I told my mom I wanted to play football,
definitely no.
She hit me across the head really hard. I picked my mouth out from the other side of the room. But yeah, it was like that. She went no, and my dad said, "Yeah, of course you can do whatever you want as long as you get your degree first." And you go, "Hang on a sec."
I mean, like many factors involved to make a footballer. I mean, like the coaches. The parents' involvement as well, and then the environment itself, and maybe a little bit of luck. I think you need that.
How young should kids start? If you're a parent now, you're thinking, all right, I want my children to be professional footballers. I don't want to push them into it, but I want How early should they start?
As soon as they can walk, give them a ball. I'm a believer of football starts from home.
Yeah.
One of the great youth football coaches, Tom Bayer, is always say that football starts from home, it's very true. It doesn't need to be structured. When they are ready, where they're walking phase, give them a ball, have them run around with it, kick around with it, and when they turn 5 or 6, when they come to structured football, it's a lot easier, and you can see the difference actually.
Okay, I read a lot about Dutch football training and the total football concept, where they train players to literally play in every single position. I mean, something like that.
Now, even in our elite, we started to do that, but not in every position.
Yeah, obviously, goalies are a specialist position.
Yeah, you got someone in centre-back that can play as a midfield.
Brilliant.
You got someone that plays as a striker, can play across on the left and stuff like that. At a young age, we just try them as many as position as possible, but not to the extreme of a centre-back playing as a striker.
But you never
sometimes know. We try it out during training sessions.
Some of them have them inside. They want to get up there and hit the winning goal, don't they? Who doesn't love scoring goals?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, sweet stuff. We're going for our first break. When we come back, we're going to find out the more personal side about Shazwan Wong. His favourite football team, what does he do after training? That's all coming up for you next.
More Grandstand coming right up on BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Grandstand on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Ross here on another episode of Grandstand. It's where we take a look at sport from different angles. Basically, we talk to the people in the sport about the sport they do. This week, we're looking at grassroots football. We've got the GM of Little League Malaysia, Shazwan Wong, in the studio. We heard all about Little League Malaysia taking in thousands of kids weekly, basically, across the four centres. My kid is actively involved every weekend as well. Shazwan was telling us about the do's and don'ts parents should learn whilst you know, observing their kids. And I see that. I used to see that every weekend, parents shouting, "Run! Tackle him now!" And you just want to go, shut up, right?
That's true. Kids get very confused when there's multiple... How do you say?
And can you imagine that the kid that actually does tell his mum or dad to please be quiet, he'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah,
he may never turn up again. do you know what I mean? Okay, so I know football is pretty much all of your life. You're like me. You love the game. I'm so glad that my work kind of has to do with football. I'm too old to play. What's your favourite football team?
Perak. I'm from Perak.
Okay,
so,
Boscaros.
Yes, so that's my team.
It's a good Perak side this year.
I would say underperforming.
Yeah, but okay, as a Perak fan, how do you feel about the might of JDT?
They have left us, I mean like the whole league, a big gap, I would say. Pahang close to them.
Yeah.
But not as close it should be, I think. JDT just blew everyone away.
I know, but there's got to be a cut-off period. I know JDT will come out and they'll buy practically every promising player around.
And people want to go there.
And people want to go there, whether it is to just to play 1 or 3 games a season or 30 games a season, they will want to go there. But, I mean, for me, how you overcome this is just by pure scouting. There must be other players out there. You can't tell me... That's it. This is the be-all and end-all. You're telling me Safawi Rasid is the best young player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's about the other teams. Like, do they want to catch up or not? There are things that can be done. They can start their youth development in the state FA.
Exactly. So for me, when you say JDT has left everybody in the shade, what JDT have done is pure basics to, if you compare it to a European football club.
Yeah, great training facility.
Absolutely.
They got a coach there. Financially, they are stable. The crowds has been brilliant down there, I would say. That's why all these players, like, if you ask where do you want to play next, it's got to be there, JDT.
Hmm.
And the setup is there for a professional player to go to.
How far behind do you think the Malaysian Super League is to, say, the J-League, the K-League, or even the Chinese Super League?
Way behind, I would say.
I mean,
behind.
Whilst we're recording this, JDT are yet to play their final game in the Asian Champions League. So they may well get through at their first attempt. I mean, do you see a club? Do you think Perak can accompany JDT into the Champions League and play that kind of football?
We were close. We were really close start of the season.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We got to the second round, which is a good start. But it seems during the league now, the performance has not been that good.
I grew up supporting Selangor. I've been to Shah Alam Stadium a few times, and Selangor are the multiple champions of Malaysian football. And I think it's so sad to see the state they are right now. They've got no training ground. I mean, they don't own the stadium. The fact that they got back to Shah Alam Stadium, they're playing to 10,000 people, if that.
I think Selangor is getting there, given time.
Slowly.
RMS is doing something down there. He got a good, got some good guys behind him that's mm-hmm. doing the work. In terms of like fan engagement right now, they are doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
They engage a lot more of the fans and
stuff. Do you watch a lot of MSL?
A bit, not that much. But I think they'll get there given time. They have refurbished their training grounds, mm-hmm. I heard, at SUK.
Good.
Which is a good start. And I think now RMS needs to surround himself with more footballing people.
That's the nail on the head, proverbial head over there. I understand that you are an active member of the Malaysian Ultras.
Not so, exactly active member.
Well, I've seen pictures of you standing with them, wearing practically what they're wearing, you support our national team.
Yeah,
you're there for everything.
You have to, all right? I mean, as a Malaysian, is your country. You need to support them regardless.
My dad took us. We drew with England B when I was a kid.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah, I saw us beat Japan 4-0, and I remember the J League hadn't started yet. I remember reading in the Straits Times that the J League sent a team of delegates to stay in Malaysia for a year to study,
to learn from us.
Yes. So they went back with this whole long list of, this is what we don't do. And they started their J League.
Yeah. And we got left behind.
we can't even lace their boots at the moment, right? I mean, but how can we get so left behind? We were a force in Asia. No, I'm not talking Southeast Asia here. I'm talking Asia, right?
Yep, that's true. We were a force during that time in the 70s. I think, like, what went wrong? I'm not sure.
Do you look at the people in charge?
Probably they got a bit comfortable. That's nothing's been done.
When you're a CEO of a company, if you run your business to the ground, generally you get sacked. No?
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true. And it's sad, like, up until now, there's still no youth football development in most of the state FA.
Okay, all right. Let me just segue here back to, say, your Little League Malaysia. So, you work with kids up until the age of what? 16, 17?
16, 17, yeah.
Okay. What happens to a really promising kid there? Do you try and get them attached somewhere?
Yeah. The current plan is, if they are good enough, we have our contacts outside of the country. We'll try to get them trials outside. Let's not look at, like, getting trials with Liverpool.
Oh, no, no. We
let's,
can't.
Let's be realistic.
Yeah, the football rules don't allow us. Our ranking's way too low to play in the UK. So.
Yeah, our main goal
pie
is
pie in the sky.
If we can get them to outside of Malaysia, we'll try to do it.
For me, the obvious thing is, like, now, with our current set of Malaysian professional players, I don't see any player that there are a handful who want to play abroad and better themselves.
Yeah.
Right? You in my lifetime, I've read about people coming back because they miss their mum's nasi lemak and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
There's one or two that's playing outside.
I know. There are a couple in Thailand.
Brian C., the goalkeeper, is in Thailand.
Yeah.
Shahrul Fikri got a stint at Thailand last season. I think we have players that's good enough to play outside of Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. But do you think a lot more should?
A lot more should go.
Absolutely,
That's only going to better our national team.
Exactly. I mean, I see them all and everybody's in their comfort zone. I go, that's great. You're doing really good, but surely your ambition has to be more. Like you hear Ronaldo go, I want the Ballon d'Or. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of drive. Complacency, I guess, is a problem. All right. Jumping back to your support for the national side and you turning up at every match and I don't want to say hooligan. I don't want to use it. Have you ever been in trouble?
No, not really.
Really?
Not really. But our experience back in Hanoi, that was quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, but it's the other side starting it, right?
More or less, yes. Because, like, we got a whole big group that is going into the stadium, but left with a very small gate to get into.
I saw a lot of the videos.
There's a lot of people down there. Yeah. And actually, the boys, the ultras actually protected the coaches' wives for them to get into the stadium safely.
So it's...
We are not that bad, actually.
No. So, no. I mean, normally when you hear the word ultras, you know what it's associated. For us in Malaysia, it's totally the opposite because we are different. But, Wicked, I mean, that whole Hanoi experience, that's down to organisation.
Yes,
and, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Okay. The Malaysian squad, as it is right now, I know you've seen the glory days. I mean, when we were proper One Malaysia, we didn't even have to go, oh, look, it was proper spine, you know what I mean? But now, what are your thoughts on your Brendan Gunns, your Matthew Davises?
I think the team is not bad. I saw the list of the 26 players call up for these World Cup qualifiers. It's a decent team.
It's his strongest team, right?
Some young players in there. So I can see, like, if this progress well, we could be a force to be reckoned with.
But I mean, of these, I don't want to call them foreigners because they are very much Malaysians, like your Brendan Gunns. They're all good friends. I think players like these, who are quite obviously still Malaysian, they can only up the levels here, right?
Yes, that's true. I think they provide that depth that we need, the work ethics.
Absolutely. Spot on. That's it.
I think, like, that's very important. But then, end of the day, it's up to the other players. Like, do you want to follow that? These guys or not? I mean, like, you can see, like, these guys are doing it proper.
Yeah. You know, it's very simple. Not enough people know that football is actually a very decent profession. People like me, when I was a kid, I was positively turned off it by my parents because they said, that's not a job. That's, you know, but you can make a very healthy living. And it's a healthy living. I mean, what more do you need?
And you get paid for doing things
that
you like.
This is where it all goes wrong. I know there are Chinese, they're Malay, not a lot of Chinese families are involved. They all want to do accounting they don't, they're forced into it.
In grassroots level, actually that's quite a fair bit of Chinese parents.
Good,
especially in our club.
We need to see more, right?
Yeah. I mean, they are quite supportive as well. Like, if you look, in end of June, we're bringing three teams to EBA Cup in Portugal.
Wicked.
So we got the under-9s, under-12s and under-15s that actually
go. You need a radio guy to tag along and take some pictures for you and make reports and stuff like that, don't you? Brilliant. So these teams are going to be exposed to competition for the first time.
Yes, for the first time in Europe. So we use it to gauge, like, where our level is at. And then when we come back from that experience, we should know what we need to concentrate on, what we need to work on. Maybe we need to increase our training times. Maybe from 3 times now, we should go 4 or 5 times a week if we want to be competitive outside of Malaysia.
Okay, we're another short break. When we come back, more from Shazwan Wong, the GM of Little League Malaysia. Stick with us.
A view of sports from every angle. This is Grandstand.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
This is Grandstand on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. It's a program this week looking at grassroots football. I've got the GM of Little League Malaysia, Shazwan Wong, in the studio. We were just talking just now about scouting in Malaysia. That the one thing that actually does set Johor Darul Takzim apart from all the other Malaysian Super League clubs, in fact, every other club in Malaysia, is the fact that they have a very active scouting unit.
Yes, I've heard. Not sure how true it is. I've heard that they got scouts like going out to watch these under-15s, under-18s MSSA game all around the country.
Mm.
And they will pick the best kids out and offer them a spot at the JDT Academy.
Now, I'm not trying to be funny here. Years ago, we're talking about 4 or 5 years ago now, when I used to actually play actively field football, there was this one game, it was 1-1. It was a Sunday, I think we were playing near the rubber plantation.
That's got to be RRI.
Yeah. So, okay. So it was 1-1. These are all like 40-something, 30-year-olds. So they brought on this kid. He must have been 17. He didn't have boots on. Indian kid, right? He had his Bata shoes on. He came on with 15 minutes to go and scored a hat-trick against us. He was jumping up higher than anybody else to take the ball on his chest before any. So I'm thinking here now, you know, if you're a football scout, look to social leagues, look to social football. There are a lot of good players out there.
Yes, there's actually, recently, if I'm not mistaken, there's one social league player playing M3 that got signed by TFC Terengganu, if I'm not mistaken, which is good for him.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the easiest way, right? I mean, you've got so people like Little League Malaysia are actively doing scouting for clubs already. You've already whittled down a lot of things for them,
that's
right?
True. Yeah. How we do it is like we have massive programs on the weekends, right?
Yeah.
Across four centres, and every month actually we do a weekend friendly series where these four centres will play among each other.
Brilliant.
All age group.
Brilliant.
And that's where our coaches will get to see the players and who we want to bring up to train competitively on the elite teams. And that's how we do it.
So, about your coaches, how good are they? I know one of them's a regular guest of mine on the football show, Keshika.
She is a very good coach. Very passionate coach.
She's qualified and more. Do you look for that? Do you look for qualification in coaches? What do you look
qualification,
for?
Qualification, yes. But most importantly, I would say the experience that they have and how they can adapt to our way of coaching. Long gone are the day. Running 10 laps, doing sprints for half an hour and stuff like that. Football have evolved.
You don't punish a kid by going 10 sit-ups now anymore.
Yeah,
do
we don't do that anymore. So
that's a bit dark ages.
One of the criteria we look at, like, can they coach kids?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can have a B license, A license coach that come out, but it's no guarantee they can coach kids.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Yeah.
I think yesterday we have a chat with my goalkeeper coach, actually, Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
With these kids, sometimes you need to be strict,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes you need to be their friends.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm 42, but I can be super nice and friendly with an 8-year-old kid that can climb on me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when it's time to work, they know, like, okay, now it's time to get serious. Let's work.
Brilliant, brilliant. You need to instill this into every single child out there. And how long do you think Malaysian football can get back up to the big table? Okay, not even the big table, the middle table. I'm talking where Thailand is sitting.
Because
we're not even there yet, right?
If you look at the current crop of players, and if our progress is not stunted or whatever reasons, probably in the next 2-3 years, we got a young squad. Don't forget, we got the Akia, Safawi.
Yeah,
we're still very young.
Exactly. They're all very promising. Yeah. But, I mean, there is stability now. If you look in FAM, Stuart Ramalingam's coming in.
Yeah.
He's come in. He's done a good job. You look at the coaches.
Tan Cheng Ho is doing well.
Tan Cheng Ho
Kim Sui is doing well.
Exactly. Boyan is in the setup as well. He's doing. So we all know and trust that the people involved now. My only gripe is we don't have a football identity. We don't know what our style is. Is it 100% gegenpressing because we're really mobile, nubile and fast? Is it, you know what I mean, we're not keep hold of the ball type of football? What style should Malaysia play?
If you see the current...
Based on the current crop, exactly.
Current crop, yeah. I think they're keeping the ball very well. Very patient, actually.
That's got to be the way, right?
Yeah, it has to be the way. Not giving the ball away. If you don't give the ball away, the opponent can't threaten you in any way.
How does Malaysia move up a rung? I mean, obviously, beat opponents higher ranked than us. But, I mean, what do we need to win? We've got a World Cup...
Qualifier
coming up. I mean, it's crap that we have to play it because...
In the first round.
Yeah, right? That it's the fact that we lost to Singapore.
Let's try to get into the group.
It.
Let's try in the group stage and see how we do. You never know, isn't it?
In your lifetime, do you think you'll see us get to... I'm not even going to say World Cup here, Shazwan. I'm going to say Asian Cup.
Yeah. Asian Cup, yes. I think that's a possibility. And hopefully you see our national team in the World Cup as well. Before I'm way too old only to be at the terrace.
Only if we get proper stadium we can host it. I can't see us. Because, yeah, we got great food and grabs, crude.
It's collectively, I think that people involved in football needs to work together.
Yeah.
For us to go far in football.
I mean, like for example, the World Football Summit that was held in KL recently. You're looking at the absolute highest echelon there of football business. Clubs are going to foreign countries and trying to sell their wares. Leagues are doing that. You know, it's all about watch La Liga and all that. We're a long way behind all this, right?
Long way behind. I think we need to improve the league first before we get people excited. I think like. I think our culture, supporters' culture here is like if a team wins, only they turn up to the stadium.
It's glory.
That's why
glory
those
hunting.
Ultra boys is quite important because like regardless
Agreed.
What happened to the team,
Agreed.
They'll turn up every single
Agreed.
Match.
I think I was explaining to my friends in the UK, they were saying, why are so many people supporting your under 23 team more than your national team? I went, because they're in the semi-final. In a nutshell, that's your Malaysian football
and
fan.
And at that time, I remember what you're talking about. At that time, like our under 23 team is playing a important game.
Absolutely.
Compared to the first team, which is
a nothing friendly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's unheard of. It's say if England played in a friendly, it'd still be bigger than if England under 19s or under 23s played in a Euro semi final. Do you know what I mean? It's weird for me.
I think like the awareness that the ultras have created on social media, that's why we got a massive crowd that turned up for those matches.
Can I ask how many members are there in the Malaysian ultras?
I have no clue.
Can you estimate?
Thousands of them, I would say.
Yeah.
Like if you look across like in those away days that you go to, yeah, there's quite a fair bit of them.
Do you feel it is the job of the ultras to educate the football fan?
They have a part to play. I would say it's not their job, but they play their part to get people interested
absolutely.
To come to the stadium.
Yeah. So should they be given more avenues to educating and helping fans?
I think ultras being ultras, right? They should keep their current way on educating people.
Okay. And you're happy with. The way the league is run, our Malaysian Super League season at the moment, for 2 years running now, we're actually playing during Ramadan, which is a good thing. But 10 p.m. games, realistically, you're talking about an 11:45 p.m. end without extra time.
For players,
it's not a family thing anymore, right?
To get people to go to stadium at that sort of time is a bit difficult.
Do you think the league should maybe be, I don't know, you find sometimes Malaysian Super League games are clashing with your early Liverpool versus someone and you're not going to win that, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's why the supporters, like, I support Liverpool as well.
I know, I'm not going to hold it against you.
Yeah, but... Yeah. End of the day, we need to support our local football.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, Liverpool is Liverpool, but like Perak is my home state. Yeah. That should be the team that you supported.
Do you support JDT when they play in Asian Champions League?
Yes, I do. I do. Spoken I want like them
a,
to win.
Spoken like a true football fan. So if there's one thing you can change about the way kids are brought up in Malaysia, what would you change?
Stop pampering them. That should be it. Let the kids learn the hard way. End of the day, becoming a footballer, to go to the higher level, it's not easy.
And it's a noble profession. It shouldn't be discouraged, right?
Yeah, and kids need to be strong to get through those phases to become a professional.
So, I mean, there are ways of learning the ways of life through sport.
Yes, that's true.
Right.
And through football is a great tool.
Yeah.
To give these kids a life lesson.
Brilliant. How long do you see yourself doing this, Charles Wong?
As long as possible.
As long as...
Until my last breath, I would say.
Brilliant stuff. Hey, thank you so much for coming in and taking time and talking to us. Is there any message you want to send out to people? Do you tout for more business?
If you guys want to come and want your kids to enjoy your football on the weekends and stuff, please do bring them down for our Little League soccer session.
Yeah, there are active Facebook pages, yeah. Little League Malaysia. Do check them out. They've got four centres across the Klang Valley. They coach hundreds of kids every weekend. You could do worse, because at the moment your kid is stuck in front of the telly every weekend.
That's true, get them out.
Exactly. Thank you so much for coming in. Brilliant stuff. Wish you all your best.
Yep, thank you.
Tune in next week for more Grandstand on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.